The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
I want you to tell me about this fascinating story of the founder, the head of Zaka, apparently involved in things one wouldn't want him to be involved in.
This is a very big story. This is a story that's really rocked Israel. It's the story that I broke on Friday morning of Yehuda Meshi Zahav. He is the co-founder and chairman of Zaka. Everybody knows Zaka, the extraordinary emergency services organization. Now, I want to make a very clear distinction. We are making a clear distinction between an individual and an organization, and that must be said. But Meshi Zahav is in the process of being investigated for at least six different accounts of rape, sexual harassment over a period of 40 years. Now, the story really gets murky because it has been coming out in the media that this is not the first time these allegations have been made. In fact, they were made in 2013. Police opened a docket, an investigation, and that the state prosecutor declined or chose not to proceed despite a lot of what people are calling, or at least according to Yediot Ahronot, incriminating evidence. Now, police are now speaking to members of Zaka, of the Zaka executive here, saying that perhaps they have covered up something that they have known for quite some time, and we've had members of the ultra-Orthodox community speaking to the media saying that, you know, it's been an open secret in the community that this has taken place. However, we also have to look at the time period from the early 80s to the to a period of about 2011. And, you know, Meshi Zahav, who's told his story, who did have a troubled story and managed to turn over a new leaf, and is a recipient of the Israel Prize. He was one of last year's recipients of the Israel Prize for outstanding work, a prize that he has subsequently handed back while this investigation is underway. But yeah, it's a huge, huge issue in Israel. You know, we've got the Lahav 433 National Fraud Investigation Unit. They are looking at evidence alleging financial irregularities, and this actually was the alarm that called for a further into investigations into suspicions of sexual offense.
Are things getting worse in Israel in this regard, or are news sources just covering the issue more? Because just this last week, I read this. I also read about a young man, 23 years old, had consensual sex, albeit with a 13-year-old, won't be charged. Lots coming to the fore. Israeli women not going to say enough of this nonsense?
Israeli women are saying enough of this nonsense. I think we also have to look at the communities that they are represented in. You know, this is a traditionally a community where it's been seen as a shunda, you know, something, you know, that has to be hidden. You know, when you look at the more secular community, women are very, very vocal, extremely vocal. You and I have spoken over the months, organizations coming out against gender-based violence, lobbying for gender parity, lobbying for change of legislation. We've had the women's organizations in this country working very closely with law enforcement to end human trafficking. In fact, we're a tier one country there. But it's we have to look at which communities this is coming from. We have to look at the history of the accusations. And we have to look at the dangers of this being politicized. So I don't think that it's a case of women aren't speaking. I think it's a case of things that have been buried or covered in the past now starting to come out.
Right, let's move on to the COVID issue. Again, just more and more good news coming out of Israel.
There is some good news coming out of Israel. Before we get into that, I just want to make the announcement that came in just a couple of minutes ago, is that Israel has begun vaccinating Jordanians who are employed in Eilat. They come in, they're legal workers. There's some 700 of them. They come into work in the various hotels and unfortunately haven't been able to do so because of the borders being shut for many, many months because of the pandemic. They will now quarantine and vaccinate and they will be able to return to work. So very, very good news on that front. Also, the news continuing to come in about Israel vaccinating Palestinian workers that come into the country. These are workers that have legal permits, and Israel still allowing, because I've had many the last couple of weeks, why should Israel send in vaccines to places where people want to, to destroy us? You know, at some stage we have to look beyond that and look to the fact that we are a country with moral obligations that shares an epidemiological, it's a very big word, Simon, for me to say while I'm exhausted.
You have to translate, I'm afraid. I don't know what it is. Yep.
Footprint with our Palestinian neighbors, and even though we aren't required to help, you know, where we can, we obviously will. But yes, some more good news. As of today, we will allow in 3,000 people per day from different countries. Of course, this is all depending on whether or not the country in question allows their citizens to travel, but we're opening up. And also good news that the bars and the nightclubs will open next week. The restaurants are open. The soccer stadiums are open to about 1,500 spectators. Event places are open. Culture is starting to open. And we've been told that countries like the UAE, Bahrain, Morocco, isn't that a coincidence? The Abraham Accords countries and several EU countries will now be allowing Israelis who are vaccinated to visit them as well. So slowly but surely, Israel's waking up. And we have the very good news that we won't have restrictions for Pesach. But I have to tell you the story, which I found absolutely hilarious. Nachman Esh, he's our coronavirus chief. It's only taken me a year, Simon, to find a better word than Tsar for the coronavirus chief. But he said on Israeli TV, the problem now is he's getting requests from many people to say, please put the restrictions in place for Pesach. We don't want to host.
Yeah, it was a hell of a lot easier, that's for sure. You don't have to prepare Seder and cook for 20. No, I get that. Ro, I saw an amazing piece of news in the Times of Israel just a short while ago. I don't know if it's breaking or not. Netanyahu is saying apparently four more peace deals with four more countries. Is he electioneering? Or are we going to hear something significant?
Well, this is the million shekel question. Is he electioneering, or can we expect an announcement? He says there are four countries that possibly will normalize ties with Israel. We hope so, because the trajectory is certainly heading that way. But, you know, we are cynical. We know that we are just days away from yet another election. You know, if it's Tuesday, it must be an election. right now we're going to press the pause button on that until we either see this kind of rhetoric continue after the elections, or we see four countries normalize ties with Israel.
Yeah, we can only hope that Saudi Arabia will be one of them. Right, I think we're out of time. We've always got too little time, you and I. Let's carry over our remaining story for tomorrow. But thank you, and great to have you back.
Good to be back. And I leave you with this last thought. A lovely tweet I saw from somebody who said everybody is normalizing ties with Israel except Iran, one or two college professors, and a doddering old guy from Pink Floyd.